This is the Pure Green Podcast, Episode 3. You can change a lot of things simply by changing your attitude. You hear that a lot, I'm sure. I know I do. But it doesn't change how powerful it is. When today's guest, Carrie Moe, spoke those words during our interview, she said it so casually, almost in passing, but it rang true. Sometimes I need reminding. We all do. You have the power within yourself to change things. So take it on, one thing at a time. As Carrie also said, it's in the journey. That is the joy. I definitely agree. Hey, thanks for joining me. So, 3 weeks in, I'm still feeling this, and I hope you are too. I know it's early, and we've only covered one topic, but there's a lot of good stuff to come. For example, in December, I'll be interviewing Amy Chaplin, the author of At Home in the Whole Food Kitchen. Her book is amazing, and she's everywhere right now. I'm so excited to talk with her. Okay, so on to today's guest. This week, we're interviewing Carrie Moe, the founder of Type A Society, a wedding event and styling agency. They are so good at what they do. They are the stuff that Pinterest dreams are made of. Carrie was a fast friend, a kindred spirit, if you will, though we've never met. I can't wait for that day. I admire her so much. I feel as though you'll really connect with her too. She's an open book, as she puts it. Her raw honesty is striking. She's not afraid to admit her faults, and her humility is so endearing. In the episode, we talk a lot. Carrie puts all her chips on the table, and so the interview is kind of long, but so worth listening to. I asked Ben, who helps me produce this podcast, he's so awesome, to insert what I like to call a pure green pause halfway through, so you can easily take a break and find your spot again. Look for that timestamp in the show notes. So, Carrie and I talk about clarifying your purpose in business and in life, adapting when life throws you curveballs, the importance of being introspective and knowing yourself, how to be all in, and of course, motherhood. Also, it's worth mentioning that Carrie throws down the most comprehensive strategy I've ever heard on time management. Seriously, she should start an online course. Such great stuff. Before we get started, this is the last episode in the mini-series on creative entrepreneurial mothers that I had planned to accompany the current issue on family. Please head on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Carrie if you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher. There's a beautiful photo essay over there waiting for you. Here's Carrie.
So Carrie, thanks again for being here with us. And just before we get started, I was hoping that you could just help us get to know you a little bit, just a bit of background about who you are.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. Yeah, I'm Carrie Moe. I live here in the Sonora region of the Sierra Nevadas. We call ourselves like the central southern mountains of California. But I have a little two-year-old. His name is Jackson. And I have my husband. We have a household of three. And my husband and I have been married for 10 years now. And Jackson actually is going to turn 2 tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Big 2 years old. So I have toddler. Now I guess I'm no longer a mother of a baby, but now I'm in the toddler phase. So we're learning all sorts of new words and what not to climb on and what falls down when you pull it and what breaks when you throw it.
Yeah, all the fun stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm a full-time mom, but part-time I work. I have an event design business, which is a very formal word for basically we love weddings. We plan weddings. We do floral for weddings. And on the side, we style for magazines. We style for photo shoots. We have some wonderful friends that are photographers that we've built friendships with over the years that we work closely with. And So all the big title is event design and styling. I have an East Coast branch and have a West Coast presence. I have two incredible associates that I work with that love that carry our vision, and I could not do anything without them. Many days I think that, like, oh my goodness, they're the everything behind me that keeps me going. But my husband is the one that started it all, and then these two dear friends of mine that are also my associates that carry our brand name do a lot of events as well with me. So I just was able to start it, and they were able to join it, and together we have a team of three. Veronica is our East Coast presence. She lives in Arlington, Virginia, and she does a lot of the planning. And then Kelly Moore, she lives in San Francisco. She has a studio there that she does a lot of styling, and I drive into San Francisco and work with her a lot with styled shoots, and we have some friends in San Francisco, and yeah, we've just been able to develop our presence out there on the West Coast. Well, out here now on the West Coast. I'm such a East Coast, West Coast mentality. I'm always thinking East Coast time because all my clients, most of them are out there, and I have many conversations with Veronica. So I always feel like, where am I? Am I on the West Coast or am I on the East Coast? What time zone? And I am. Where am I? So that's a little bit about my business. We have been in business since 2009. We started my name was first Flourish Events. And then in 2014, we rebranded to call ourselves a Type A Society because we are also into the details. We love to obsess about the details. So we call ourselves a little society.
You hinted at this a little bit in your last answer about your husband, but what was the inspiration that led you to create a Type A Society?
Yeah, it was my husband. So, 2005, we got married, and before that, I was going to nursing school. I had been 2 years in nursing. I had started started 2 years of prerequisites, which are all your biologies and your chemistries. And I was going to this one school that had its specific program, and it was a fast program. So you did 2 years of credits, and you could get in 2 years. You'd be done with a beginning basic nursing degree. And so I'd done my 2 years of all my prerequisites. So I was just beginning to start the actual nursing program when we got engaged. And I was so happy. I just got married and moved. And then I saw all of my credits did not transfer.
Oh.
So I started at the bottom again with my nursing, and I was at the time, of course, we were young. We got married when I was just 21, so didn't have much money and one car, and we lived out in actually a basement apartment way out in the middle of Virginia's very mountainous, rural, almost to the border of West Virginia. So traveling to school was an hour and a half, and took up gas money, and I just thought, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I just was that crazy girl that just moved herself without thinking, and here I am in the middle of West Virginia area in Northern California, Northern Virginia, thinking, what am I doing? So I started to work various jobs just to pull in some income. And during that time, I still started to go back to school. I did get a degree, finally. It took, I was pregnant with my son Jackson when I got my degree, but it wasn't in nursing. anyway, that's another story for another time. But during the time where I was in 2005 and 2006, where I was just trying to figure out what to do next, I had done my wedding, of course, loved it. And then I had done a friend's wedding out in Virginia. She asked me to do it for her, to plan it and help her with floral. And I said, sure, I love my wedding. I'd love to do another one. And just, of course, was so passionate about every little detail and asked her all these questions. Totally was involved and made little things myself for her. And then when that wedding was over, she referred me to a friend. And then she referred me to another friend. And then that friend referred me to two of her friends. And then by the time I was 2008, I had done 17 weddings in summer of 2008, 17 for free.
Holy cow.
So that was at the end of that summer, my husband said, "Hey, are you doing another wedding? And are you getting paid for this one?" I said, "No." He said, "Okay, you have got to start this as a business, because this, I can see, is what you're passionate about." So he told me to start it, and he set me on the track on Google to how to get your business license as a wedding planner. And so then I did. I just started cold calling some wedding planners in the area. And my dear friend in Virginia, she was the one that picked up the phone. She just was in need of an intern, and she interviewed me for a few different weddings. I worked with her, and then after I worked with her for a few different weddings, she said, "I would love for you to be my intern and work with me." And I came on her team, and I worked with her for almost 4 years during that time, from 2007 until I moved. I still was doing work for her pretty much up until I moved. I just love her so much. She really started me all in everything. I can give her credit for it all. And during that time, I also went and started to get my associate's, it's a certificate, not associate's, but I got my certification as an event designer online. And then I just started to gain more knowledge and just wanted to keep going. And I, one summer, I interned with a florist, and then another florist. I helped here and there. And then I also was an independent contractor for two corporate companies that did a lot of events out in the, you know, political world there in Washington, D.C. So I also learned the corporate side as an independent contractor, how to manage large groups and get them to point A to B. And so I learned a lot of various sides of event, you know, the wedding part, the corporate part. I learned the floral part, just got my hands and feet just into it all and just wanted to learn it. It was just kind of like a sponge. And then in 2009, I kind of started very quietly. And 2010 is when I definitely started to make more movement of, hey, I'm here, I'm going to really push this business. From 2010 to 2011 was my best year out in Virginia. And I opened up a studio with a dear photographer, friend of mine out on the East Coast. And we had a storefront, which was a creaky, beautiful old, like a Victorian little studio there in downtown Leesburg. It had hardwood floors and big windows, and it was just a lovely little studio. And 2010 to 2011 was that. And yeah, and then 2011, I had a crisis in my family, and everything just came to a screeching halt, and I closed the doors and moved myself back to my hometown area, which is Central Valley, and now I'm here on the West Coast. And from 2011 to 12, I took a break and ended up having my son Jackson. So, but through that break, really, so much clarification came and so much clarity came. And in that crisis, there was so much peace and stillness. And still, I look back on my crisis year, really, which was a hard place to be. And again, back on the West Coast, where I had built my life on the East Coast for so long, but coming back to the West Coast, kind of like a changed person, a totally new person, but trying to fit into my natural surroundings that I had been raised in didn't seem to fit anymore. And through that, I just asked myself again, okay, who am I and what am I doing? And clarified again. And it was the year where things just fell into place, really into place for me in my business. And since 2012, it's just been on a crazy, wonderful roller coaster of just meeting some incredible photographers and working with some of the industry's greats, really, and meeting them and being able to just expand our portfolio. It's been an incredible last year. So, but yeah, that's kind of, my husband really was the one who started this whole thing. And now I think he scratches his head like, wow, okay, now we're here. Okay, now you're going to Nepal to style this workshop. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're going to LA or San Francisco, and he's like, wow, I had no idea where this would lead.
Well, I think, you know what, that's part of the entrepreneurial journey, is never knowing where things are going to lead. And that's a lot of the excitement. That's what attracts people to it in the first place. But well, you're going to Nepal? I didn't know that. Or have you been already?
I haven't announced it yet, but I just said yes. There's a workshop that just so resonates with my heart that I'm going to provide floral for. I'm just so excited. So it's a first of its kind. It's actually giving all the proceeds are going back to the people of Nepal. So every photographer who comes to this workshop will be able to say that instead of spending, you know, $3,600 or $3,900 or whatever you spend for these workshops, they're all different various prices, but you can say now that I put this all into the people of Nepal, and it's giving back to two organizations, one stopping human trafficking between the border of Nepal and India. It's a missions organization, a human aid organization that is helping people stop these women from going over the border, getting the men who are taking them over the border and stopping them. And the other one is an orphanage. So nobody's getting any money from this. We're all putting it in for just to benefit the people of Nepal. We just are excited to be able to give back, really fully give back, instead of pour all that money into our own portfolio. Give it back. But at the same time, we'll be styling, you know, in front of the Himalayas. So, hey, you can never go wrong.
No, my goodness, what an experience. How did you become involved in that?
So I saw, of course, there was this, there's this photographer I follow, and they had announced a workshop, and I had just, I'd seen it was giving back. And when they announced it, I was like, oh my goodness. So I was like, just emailed her and said, hey, do you have any need for planning, you know, and if you do, you know, I want to give back because this is such an incredible, when I find an organization or like, you know, Celine, when I find somebody, I really stand behind their vision. I love Pure Green Magazine. I love your vision. I love what you stand for. I'll just like wrap myself around that cause and be like, I'm here 100%. You can call on me. I'll do whatever I can because I totally agree with where you're going. But I knew I wanted to be a part of this. And so I just emailed and said, if you need a planner, I can help plan. And I do floral as well. But I wasn't thinking, you know, they would want me to go to Nepal. And she's like, yes, we would love you to come.
Wow.
So that is just a side note, but yes, yeah. That's just saying, like, it's just been an incredible, wonderful, wild ride. And you have no idea when you step into this creative entrepreneurial, you know, job, this thing you've created, you have no idea where it's headed. You just know you love it, that it takes a form of its own. And all of a sudden you're wearing 15, 20 different hats, you know, you're your own spokesperson, you're your own marketer, you're your own secretary, you are the salesperson, you are your CPA, you have to pay your taxes, you need to know all about your business licenses, especially when you open up a two different state business, you have two different taxes you have to pay. I mean, it just goes on, and you have no idea where it's going to take you. And so here it is. Taking me to Nepal. So I'm really excited.
Well, that's an amazing experience. I can't wait to hear more. Really. I mean, and you know what? What you've talked about in these past few minutes here, I mean, your journey really has been about you had to reinvent yourself from, you know, where you thought you were going with your nursing through to, you know, learning and, you know, through your internship. And then with the crisis that, you know, obviously with any crisis, you never foresee them and it's earth shattering and you really, you know, you have to take that time to recover. It's so hard. It's a long journey. I mean, for you, it sounds like it took about 5 years, a little longer than that, like the whole thing. So, you know, people, it really is this crazy investment both in yourself and your time, and you have to be so flexible to roll with it like you did.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they compare their middle to someone's, like, beginning or end, or, you know, we just compare so much in our journeys, like, oh man, I just feel so behind here. I know that's where I was so often, like, oh my goodness, I'm just trying to figure out who I am, and I should be knowing who I am here, and so many people at my age are 5-10 more steps ahead, and I'm feeling so just, you know, always downcast, like, oh, I can't get to where I need to go. And I think that has been one thing looking back, like, wow, it's in the journey, you know, that is the joy, like, that is the happiness, that is where we really are and who we really are. That's in those moments, those things that we say, nope, I'm going to tell myself the truth, which is, I'm here for a reason, you know, I'm here and I can take the most out of this moment and grow, and I can just put my head down and just continue to take one foot into the next and walk, and know that, you know, you never run a marathon without training, and it's always one step and one foot in front of the next, and putting your head down and just saying, I'm in it for the long haul, and it doesn't matter if I get there in 2 years, 6 months, or if it's 10, or, you know, however many it needs to be, I'm going to be in it for the long haul, and I'm not going to give up on this just self-deprecation feeling and being downcast and just kicking the can and saying, what's worth it? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here on the couch and watch a show. You know, you've got to keep your focus in those downcast moments and tell yourself the truth, which, you know, who you are, who you really are, you know, you have to remind yourself. So,
yeah, I think everyone has to take it easy on themselves every so often. Just ease back on those expectations. I mean, that can be really hard to do, I find, especially with the entrepreneurs. You know, you just expect so much of yourself, and we're all results-oriented, so it's hard. It can be really hard to dial that back.
That's so true.
Yeah. You said as well that you spent about a year, during which time you had your son, but also... and I'll touch on that in a second, but I just wanted to talk about what you briefly touched on about clarifying your purpose and your business and what it was that you wanted out of life and out of your career, and I'm sure many other things, since it was in the middle of such an intense time for you. But what did that process look like for you? Like, first of all, I mean, I should preface by saying that I think it's an extremely useful exercise for anyone in business to, you know, to take a moment, whether it's a day, an hour, a week, a month, a year, to really reevaluate what you're doing and do it at regular intervals, because sometimes you end up in places that you just, you know you're not supposed to be there, or you need to restructure in order to jive with where you find yourself. I think so often we get stuck in working in our business instead of on our business, you know, like that whole, so anyway, I wanted to ask you what that clarification process looked like for you.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I think first it just looked like, emergency, like I have to be, just take action to be with my mom, because I didn't want her to go through life, well, it started out of a personal just tragedy, and so that just shakes things up, you know. So you evaluate, okay, what are my priorities? Well, my priority was family. I want to be with my family, the family that I have, and now in this moment, and the ones that have shaped me, that have put so much into me, I want to give back. And so that was my mom. I had actually was out with my sisters on the East Coast. They had all moved out through various circumstances. We all had actually ended up in the same area in Washington, D.C. We were like 45 minutes from each other in various going different directions, but we were still in the same area. So I was the only one at the time married to a Californian and who would be able to move back to where we were born and raised. Everybody else had either couldn't do it or anyway, so it looked like the form of prioritizing, like, okay, what are my priorities? My top priority was family. And then, being there. So then that was just reassessing me as a person. What do I value? And I value my family. And then a lot of it was, I follow God, and I have quiet times in the morning. I I love to just, before Jackson gets up, I have a time of reading, and I read different books. I also read the Bible, and I just think in that moment, in the hour or half an hour. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's just very quick, but I need that moment. So that in those moments before we moved to California, I just knew that I needed more of that. Those moments. Those moments were what were keeping me together. And I knew that in my life on the East Coast, where my business was, it was taking off and it was getting so busy. And we were in a very high income area. We had moved further towards the city. We were no longer in the sticks in Northern Virginia. We were now in the city area, closer to DC, where it takes more to live. Gas is higher. Price for groceries are way higher. And we had two cars now. We also owned two houses at that point. We had kept our condo. We had bought a house. We had bought a condo from our apartment. We bought a condo. And then from our condo, we kept it and we went and bought a house. And then we were now keeping the house and the condo. And we had two cars. I had a business. My husband was traveling to the city area to work. So it looked like being more together. We weren't really together much. We were just working our butts off. And we wanted to be together. So we wanted time with family, we wanted more time together, and we wanted more quiet moments. And California is more laid back. There is more time to think out here. I feel like there's just not as much energy as far as like where you have to hit the pavement pretty hard in Washington, D.C. There's always busyness and parking issues and just traffic, and there wasn't that in California, so we knew we wanted to cut that out of our lives. So yeah, we moved back, and when we moved back, my husband was actually at the point in Virginia of starting his own insurance business, and he decided he would just open it in California instead of Virginia. So he opened up an insurance business just an hour away from both sets of parents, so we could drive either way. And since then, now we have moved closer to his family. So now we're in the mountains. We're just on the same property, basically, as his parents. So so that's kind of what it looked like. We definitely did a lot of sitting and thinking and reevaluating in that time. And then when we moved back, we kept it going. Really wanted to kind of, when you have a tragedy and ice water just hits your face, you become very clear about what you want in life. You realize that it's so quick, and you realize you only have a few moments, and that sounds depressing, but it's also helpful because you think like, oh, okay, now what do I want to do for the rest of my life? And I want to live with real intense purpose. Maybe that's not looking like I'm going to be busy in my time as much anymore, but as far as my heart, as far as my actions, as far as my mental place, I want to be really aware of what I'm doing. So I want to make an impact. You know, we all want to make an impact on this world, and we want to know that we've left a wake behind us, that we've left a legacy, and we've touched people. That's at least what I really want to do. So that was just a very, very helpful year. Before that, I think it was easy to slide into that transition where we took a halting stop to all that we were doing. You know, we stopped my business, we moved. I mean, it was just like a screeching halt. But before that, I think some actions that led up to that would make it easier for us to do what we did. And for looking back and seeing hindsight, we had been taking personal retreats every 6 months where we would, because we were so busy, you know, with owning two houses and just going in the DC area. You know, anytime you're in a close city like that, it's hard to explain it unless you live in a city like that, how busy it really is. But we had been taking every 6 months where we would go we would pick a weekend and my husband would go somewhere and I would go somewhere and we'd actually go and have a personal weekend to ourselves where we would just spend the night somewhere beautiful, in the Shenandoah Valley or someplace, or I would go and have a friend's house and sit and have coffee in her studio or her office, but I wouldn't really talk to anybody. but we would just have a personal retreat, so we would be able to live in the city well without getting lost, in a sense, because we knew where we came from in California, which was a lot slower pace. So that helped us keep energy and keep focus. Living in the city was having our personal retreat. So in that quietness and in that stillness, we were able to get invigorated, you know, have come back into our busy life and just jump in full feet, you know, both feet, and say, here we are again. And we have new goals. We have just fine-tuned our old goals, but we've added to them and we're taking them out. Some of them we've discarded, but we're focused again, and we're coming back into the life, craziness of life, and we have good new energy for what's in front of us. So yeah, that's kind of how we did that whole year. I know that was a long, long explanation.
No, that's okay. I mean, it was emotionally laden time, and you did a lot of, you know, self-exploration during that time, so it's okay.
You can catch anything you want out of that.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things that I heard out of that I found interesting is that, you know, it's funny how, you know, we achieved this level of what, you know, people would perceive as success. So you've got a thriving business, you've got two cars, two houses, all this stuff. And yet it doesn't feel like success to you because you aren't in a position to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So I commend you for listening to your heart and following, you know, the direction that you did in order to just achieve that level of, you know, balance that you were seeking. So it sounds like you have really good processes in place.
Well, it's probably because before that, we had such a rocky, I mean, I'm just really being honest here. I mean, I'm an open book, really, but we had not done well, and we were married young, and we were just not doing well in our marriage. So I think we had to put some processes in place where we were saying, listen, you know, we can't do this. Like, something's wrong. And, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere, and we have no money, and we're fighting all the time. Aww. And I'm feeling like I just made the worst mistake of my life, and he's feeling the same. And so we had to come to some sort of, okay, we have to get a focus here. We have to get outside ourselves. We have to come to some helpful guidelines if we're going to make it the long haul. And so I think those processes in place before we moved, of the personal retreats and the morning, waking up early in the morning and having time to ourselves reading, helped us to kind of greet the day and each other with the correct, you know, with a good attitude, because we were just not doing very well. So, I mean, that's just probably more than you want to know.
No, it's great. It's great, because you know what? Now we know just the perspective that you've gained. I mean, it's invaluable, really.
Yeah, you have to take a lot of things, not what not to do from me. And why I do these things now, because it has helped me to really keep my feet going and my head up. So
I hear you. I'm curious about something, and this is jumping ahead a little bit here, but now that you have Jackson and that time in the morning, that hour to yourself, do you still do that? Do you still have that time?
It is not what it used to be. No, I actually have to say I'm now more and more waking up when he is, where I hear him say, Mama, Mama, in the next door, you know, the next bedroom.
Yeah.
And my eyes are cracking open, and I'm like, oh, I slept through my alarm again. But I do stay up a little bit late. I think that's probably where I get my time more, is in the evening after he goes to bed. I work, and so I would like to switch it at one point and do early morning instead of evening, but boy, I tell you, those early morning hours in the mountains when there's no light outside and it's cold, it is hard.
Trust me. I know.
But I did get up early this morning, so maybe there's room. I'm making some headway here. But, yeah, there's more like right after he has his breakfast, I am able to turn on an audiobook while he eats, or I flip open a book, or I have my Bible on my counter, or have a verse on my countertop, and I'm just, you know, I'm rehearsing the verse for the day or something I want to hang on to in my day. And then when he goes and takes his nap right before I start my emails, I'll read something or have a moment to myself, make myself a cup of coffee, sit in front of the fire or sit in front of the furnace if I don't want to make a fire. And I'll just take a few, like 10 minutes. It's really short. If my inbox I know is full, I'll just take a few moments to myself. And I really think that's important. I think, like you said, you know, many entrepreneurs, we don't give ourselves space. And I think we create the best when we give ourselves space and we give ourselves some mental quietness. That's, I feel like for me, is when I create the best. So, yeah, I feel like it's now imperative for my, you know, being able to creative entrepreneur when my business is built on visuals, you know, and creating aesthetics and creating an atmosphere and working with, you know, photographers for blogs or magazines. But you really need to give yourself that space to be able to, when you're on call, say, okay, here I am. I'm in. I'm here. I'm creating, and I'm giving my 100%. You know, I have 100% to give because I've given myself space before I got here to give to you. So.
So you had Jackson during that really crazy time, and did you always want kids or? What were you thinking in terms of children in that sense?
Yes, we have a really long story there too. I'm like, oh girl, you can pull. I have a saga sometimes. I'm like, I can say it two ways, and I don't want to depress people with this podcast. But we had hoped for a baby for actually a long time. When I was just starting my business, I was not really, I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I felt like, you know, maybe I would be better to not go to be a nurse. And I would just really just not get a degree. And I would stay at home and be a mother. And my mom taught me at home. She had a master's degree. We were homeschooled. And my mom had a master's degree. My dad had a master's degree. My mom gave up her master's degree in French literature. She lived in France for 2 years. She could have taught it, you know, she was fluent in French and she spoke French and she read in French and she could have taught, but she gave that up. And an international lifestyle, she gave that up to marry my dad. And then to have us girls, she didn't go she could have taught and she did it. So, I really admired her. And I was thinking, you know, I don't have a degree. I don't have a master's degree. And I am here in Virginia and maybe I'm just called to be a mother. And that's a huge calling. And it's not just called, you know, maybe that's what I should do. And I should really work at that. So as I was applying myself for positions to intern in, I was getting my feet wet in the wedding planning world and doing weddings for friends for free. And I was trying to have a baby during that time as well. I was like kind of saying, what's going to happen first? You know, like what's going to come to the surface? Like, just show me some, please just show me some clarity in my life. What am I going to be? And maybe I'll get pregnant, you know? So of course that our story took, it's a long time to have, our story is that it's hard for us to have kids. There's issues on both sides that create it difficult for us to get pregnant. And so we tried for about 5 years to have Jackson. And during that time, I really just put my head down and I started this business. And so that is my, like, I feel like this business now is my first baby.
Yeah.
Really, truly is. And it has carried us through some other things in those 5 years that we had experienced as a family that were also just hard things to go through. And my business was just there, and it kept growing, and I was able to, you know, go home and shut the door behind my little studio and be at home and say, yeah, I'm not a mom, and I don't know if that's going to happen, but I can go tomorrow, open up my studio door, and there I am, you know, businesswoman and working, and it was such a great thing and something to put my hand to, and as I put my hand to it, it just kept growing and growing, and I just thought, okay, well, maybe this is really what I'm supposed to be. This is the natural thing for me, and it's just been, obviously, it's getting bigger and it's blessed, and so maybe I'm not called to be a mother. But so I kind of put that at the back door, being a mother, even though I wanted to be a mother. There was just so many physical obstacles for me to overcome, and money we didn't have, and money we had but it didn't work, and just things that were obstacles in our path to parenthood. And so when we had when everything just closed to a halt in a real crisis state in 2011, that is when it's just amazing how what happens to your body. And Jackson basically is a miracle. He was born in 2012. So during the time when I moved back, there was like, yeah, it was just, he's really quite a miracle, because he came out of so much, like the doctors would say, no, that would be impossible. And you were already in so much stress physically with all the things that were going along in your family. Mm-hmm. To be able to get pregnant and then have a pregnancy that was sustained, just really, I mean, it makes me want to cry to think about what a miracle he is. But our lives, we just have no idea when we start them what they're going to be and where they're going to take us. And I think many times for me, looking back, like, the tragedy or the trauma or the trial of infertility, there's a lot of things in my life that I could have, and I did, and I did have just felt like everything is against me. but there was that underlying current of peace that was in my life, where I knew that even though there's so much I feel like against me in this, that, and I know it's going to work out okay. And I had a firm, I'm a, you know, a deep person of faith. So I knew that there would be an end to it at one point. And so I'm so thankful for that peace there in the midst of that motherhood, just a lot of years of infertility that I knew I was going to have a child. I just knew that. And I would just walk out of those appointments like, no, I'm not going to accept that. You know, I'm going to have a baby. I know I'm going to have a baby. And we do hope to at some point. My husband actually has two brothers that are adopted, and we have felt we were called to adoption as well. And so we'd always say, like, we're going to have a baby, even if we're going to have a baby, even if we have to get our baby from a different country or from a different state or a different person, we're going to have a baby. But it's amazing to see Jackson and have him be like, hey, that's part me and part, you know, my husband. So, but yeah, I did want to be a mother. Circling back to the beginning, I did. I wanted to be a mother quite badly and many times in my life. I'm finally a mother. It's amazing.
Well, it's truly, it really is a gift. And wow, you're surprising me with the depth of your experiences here, Carrie.
Selena, this is too much. I know, I should have warned you.
Carrie, it's wonderful. I hope our listeners enjoy getting to know you as much as I have.
Oh.
But, you know, like you, I also had not to the same degree, I mean, in the sense that it didn't take me 5 years. But, you know, I had some setbacks as well with pregnancy and becoming a mother. And it's funny because it wasn't something that I was completely sure about until I was faced with the fear that it might not happen. And then, you know, then the emotions come into play and it really becomes this crazy thing. But it's funny because, like you, you know, I launched my business in that time. And so my business also was my first, like, child, you know, quote unquote, because I devoted myself fully to it. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. But, you know, and then when you do become a mother, you realize what a gift that it truly is. And it's something that you can sort of, like, your anchor, your rock, you can go back to that when things get too much. You know, now that you have a kid, you're like, oh my goodness, okay, this is harder than I thought it was going to be, right? You can go back to that, as anybody can, but it's quite a thing. And so I'm curious to know, what were your expectations then when you finally became pregnant about continuing to run your business after your child was born?
Yeah, I was a little bit apprehensive how it was all going to work out. but I knew, I think I'm just very optimistic. And so I thought, it's going to work out. But my expectations were that it would go pretty smoothly and it'd be fine. And it's been rocky, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
It is not easy to be a mother and own your own business because I think we've talked about this too before. You can never turn off the mental noise and you love your business and it is like a person to you. And you feel, I know that sounds weird, but you feel like you need to listen to it. It's talking.
Yeah.
And then just knowing, like, I started it and it can't stop. And, people are counting on me, and having to deal with being a mom and then answering my emails and still in a timely manner, being professional. Bride doesn't faze her that I'm going through this motherhood crisis, you know, like my baby is screaming on the other side of the computer, or she has a bad colic day, and, you know, my dishes are in my sink and my laundry hasn't been done. And I'm trying to do all that I can to get her emails answered on time. And that's all I can do at that moment is just respond in a timely manner. And if I don't, you know, I get an email that maybe is not so nice on her end. And I'm just thinking, yeah, I am doing everything I can. So there are so many days where it's a balance. You think, okay, no, put yourself in their shoes. This is what you've just contracted with them, this agreement that you will be on time and you will perform, whether or not your family has, needs to eat breakfast or dinner and your baby is sick, you know, you have to compartmentalize. So I think that's one thing I've really learned, or three things would be to really, one would be time management really came into gear when I got when I was a mom right at the beginning, and I still am using some of these things I'm practicing. But and then compartmentalizing, you know, mama guilt and you know, bad news, compartmentalizing things like getting a call of something in the middle of a photo shoot, compartmentalize it, saying mommy guilt, oh, I'm not a good mom, you know, I'm not there for him. I have to put him in a play group 2 days a week, and I'm not there for him 2 days a week. And my husband helps me with one day, so I'm with him two full days, and then 3 days I work. But my husband's with him for one day. But yeah, but just not being there and compartmentalizing guilt and realizing that's never going to accomplish anything. It's a dead end road fast. And then the clutter around my house, you know, my desk was a mess, compartmentalizing that. This email has to be clean, and this email has to be, of course, organized, and you have to put 100% into this email and your contract that you're going to send out now. So compartmentalize the mess in front of you, put it in a drawer, forget about it. It's going to be there when you get finished. And then compartmentalizing my energy, like, I'm going to be all here, and I'm going to give it 100%. And then I have in tomorrow, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to just be with my son, and we're going to just stay at home, and we're going to go play outside. I'm not going to get in my car. You know, just realizing I can rest tomorrow, or I can rest this day from now. And so therefore, I know I'm going to be resting 2 days from now if I can just give 100% all my energy now. And so just learning how to kind of compartmentalize has been good. And then the third was like just to take action. So many times in motherhood, I feel like we can just, we're so tired. We're physically drained and mentally drained. And we feel like just doing like one thing, which is truly our biggest accomplishment, sometimes like doing the dishes, you know, or doing laundry, like that is the biggest thing I'm going to do today. And then saying, that's great. That is what I need to do today. So taking action in that one action item, just like, I'm going to take action with my laundry, and I'm going to make sure it's folded and put away. And if I can, when he takes a bath, I'm going to neaten up my closet in 15 minutes and do what I can do in 15 minutes. Take action in that 15 minutes. And then That's it. You know, when 15 minutes is over and I've put away my clothes, that's my big action item. Now I can just say, I did it. I'm done, and rest the rest of the time, or not be so hard on yourself. So I think doing a lot of things like going out to eat some days, or freezer meals. I know that's horrible, but organic freezer meals are great.
Yeah.
You know, but just things that you can't be so hard on yourself. Like, you know, I made dinner 4 nights last week, and this week is a big crunch week for me. So I'm going to have to pull out some leftovers, and we're going to go out to eat one night and throw in a organic, you know, pizza or something, you know, like just figure it out, and not be like, it has to be organic and healthy every night. But yeah, so things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you, I found the transition difficult too. I mean, it's, you know, you really have to, it's a very cathartic experience, because you have to reconcile who you were before with who you've become, and everything in your life still exists, and you still have to fit it in somehow, some way, but still be able to live with yourself at the end of the day. And I think so much of it just really, it just goes back to just realigning your expectations, and both on yourself and on what you can accomplish and get out of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think that we all struggle with the notion of perfectionism within our business and as a mother too. And especially, you know, like you say, you know, type A society, you know, you're all about the details. Yeah. And you really want to hit all those things, just get it all down perfectly. But it's all about scaling back from that, stepping away, and being able to just be realistic. And like you said, I loved what you said about just taking action on one small thing, because, you know, for me, when I write out a to-do list that has every single little thing, big and small, that I have to do, and it's like a page and a half long, and at the end of the day, I know I can only do 2 or 5 maybe of those things, and I feel like crap because I didn't do it all. And, you know, things like that, it's just so important to change.
Yeah.
So how did your previous identity as a female creative entrepreneur fit with your new one as a mother? Do you find it easier now?
Oh, I think it's altogether completely different. I think you kind of, they say, don't you change into 5 different people by the time you finish your life? You begin somebody and then you're 5 different people at the end. Like, you've changed in 5 different ways that are pretty substantial.
Oh, probably at least.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm on another person, you know, of me, the new me. And so I think that helped me as well mentally, just be like, okay, this is what you were before. And it was amazing and beautiful and, you know, and good and bad and ugly and all the above. And ditch it and be like, this is who you are now. Not that you're ditching completely who you are. No, but I'm just saying, like, your expectations, you have to ditch those, I think. Like, I hung on to who I was still, you know, in many ways. I'm still very much the same person, but I very much have changed now. I'm different, you know. I can't, you know, be available to everybody like I wanted to be. I can't have as many friends as I hope to have. you know, I'm not available socially as much as I used to be. I can't, you know, probably bop into San Francisco easily and do this fun event I want to do with these friends of mine in San Francisco. And, you know, I just have to say no to a lot of those things, which are fine because they actually help me, again, focus and redefine who I need to be. And so, yeah, and I think I just had to kind of say, this is the new person. So that means, okay, again, well, focus, redefine who you are. Let's take it down to the basics and start building from there. So I knew I wanted to be a business person. I love my business. And I knew I wanted to, I'm a mom now. Now how can we combine the two? And so ways that would help me combine the two, you know, I started looking into, first we had like a part-time nanny, which we loved, but it was a little too pricey for us. And then we had nobody watch Jackson, and we just tried to have me try to really work it and just stay up late, stay up early, get up early, just work on the weekends 2 days straight.
Oh, boy.
That, of course, did not work.
No.
Okay, so scratch that idea. And then, okay, we're going to try having play dates, swapping with mothers. Okay, that's too not help. It's not organized enough because I need consistent dates. So then we found this wonderful day drop-in center play group that he has, that he knows the same kids. They go to the like same things. Like, I have a Bible study on Tuesdays, and I go to a church on Sundays. And so some of those kids stay in his Sunday school and classes there. So I feel like he can just know them all at the same way. You know, it's like a play group. But it's really probably helpful for me to say it that way, as it really is a daycare facility. And I had to follow that, and I thought I'd never be there or I would never do that. And I said, you know what, here's scratch. That was the best idea we've got, and it's worked the best. And he gets an incredible organic lunch from this amazing person that Tori knew since he was little, that we love her so much. And he gets to play outside. There's goats and there's bunnies, and he is like so happy. Like, Mom, I'm going to go play. You know, I'm just like, you want to go play? Oh, yes, Mama, let's go. You know, he's just so happy to go. So I feel like it has been, you have to redefine who you are and take your expectations down as well. Like, I'm never going to have my child in a daycare. I said that. Oh, no. I have to be more realistic. You know, I'm never going to, feed him not food that I've made myself. Like, I want to make all his food. Oh, no. So I think I just am very much, I call my business type A. You know, I want to do the best in everything. And I know I'm pretty hard on myself at times. So just realizing that, you know, I need to take the pressure off and this is what I'm doing. And I only get one opportunity at it, and I only have one Jackson. And so I really want to enjoy it, and realizing it's not going to be good for me to have guilt that I'm dropping him off at a daycare. Nobody wins. So I'm going to do it joyfully and happily. And he loves it, and I love it, and it has worked out wonderfully. So I think it's just really realizing you're a new person. And if you want to keep your business going, there are other things that you're going to have to let go of. And so I say a lot of no's. You know, I do say a lot of no's to social things and extra activities, and we keep our life pretty simple. So,
yeah, it's definitely a lot about give and take. That's just a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to circle back a little bit because you said it really quickly, and I wanted to dig into it just a little bit more. It was this idea of time management, because honestly, that's something I was terrible at before I had children, and I'm still not great at it. I struggle with it a lot, and I know a lot of people do, but unless I'm interpreting it incorrectly, it really seems like you excel at it. So what are some of your top strategies or tips on managing your time?
Oh, thank you, Celine. And anything I want, you know, you to know or people to know that's helpful. Like, these are things I've learned because I needed them. It was like, okay, I have to, otherwise it's emergency. So if anything, I don't want to come across like I know it all. I had to have these things in place because I was not doing well. And so that's why I became a better time manager. It's because of out of a need to avoid of not being a good one. So So I do. I try to really manage my day and just be aware of what I'm saying yes to and saying no to as well. But the night before, I write out my to-do list. So I'm thinking kind of in the next day, and that helps me get it all out on paper so I can go to sleep, because I used to not be able to fall asleep. And so it just helped me to stay up until I had it all written out. Even that was at the beginning, I felt like I was so everywhere. It took me a while to write it out. It was like my mental throw all everything list. It would include things like clean your car, you know, and organize the cupboard under the sink. I mean, silly things. So things that are important, like you need to renew your car license. It's expired. Right. You know, the police could pull you over. Like everything that was on my brain, just throw it on that list. And then from that list, I would take out the most biggest priorities. I would number them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'd take 5 things and I would write that on my schedule. So I would do 8 to 9, you know, be making breakfast and send your husband out the door, or do whatever you need to do in your morning. You know, I would write out every hour, and then I would put those 5 things and I would insert them somewhere in the 5 hours where I knew that it was, could be reasonable for me to do this. And as a mother, it would be, the 5 things would be like, you know, try to fold the laundry that you've had on your couch for like 3 days. You know, it would be like really, really, as the beginning mother, I think when you're nursing a young infant, you have to take your expectations down to like basic life things. And then of course there was one thing work related in that 5, like answer that email. You said yes to, you know, 3 weddings this year, and that's not many for me, but you said yes. And so you have to follow through on 1 thing a day. So that was in my, you know, new motherhood. And then I would try to act on that the next day. When I'd fall asleep, I'd try to visualize my day. Like when I'm visually going through my day and seeing myself do all of these things, somehow visualizing it for me helps me take action too. I'm very visual. But then, I would wake up, try to wake up early. And after my quiet moment in the day, after I read something that stilled my soul and gave me that inner peace, prayer or meditation, you need to first calm your inner soul. Then you can start your day with energy. Like, I am ready. I am so ready. I thought about this. I've written it out. I visualized it. I'm going. And then I would just go at my to-do list. And then it was another thing that's helped me in time management is a 15-minute rule. I read this book about 15-minute rules. And I love boundaries and guidelines because, you know, I was taught home. So we were all, you know, at home, you have to kind of self-teach yourself. So I love stuff that help, you know, you can teach yourself. So 15-minute rule. In 15 minutes, try to do something that you would put off, you know, would put off for forever. So like Jackson's taking a bath, then I would clean out the cupboard on the closest cupboard to his bath while I watched him. You know, I'm right there and I'm just pulling things out and re-putting them in while I'm right there with him. I'm not leaving him. I'm just sitting next to him with my hands in the cupboards too. And then like a 15-minute rule, you know, while he's taking lunch, do something then, you know, send that email off or do something. So the 15-minute rule also has helped me. And then also being realistic with myself time management-wise. You know, I've done 2 things today, and maybe I can do a third. It doesn't look like I'm doing the 4th and the 5th. I'm going to move those on to my next day. I'm going to do them first, right away, as soon as I possibly can. And then I'm going to add in 3 more, but probably might not get to the last one. You know, just being realistic with myself, kind of to gauge. But I found when I listed out my to-do list, it was always so long. And like you said, you know, I was so discouraged at the end of the day because I only got maybe 2, maybe 5 at the max done. So just 5 things has helped me just put on my calendar realistically to do it and really actually get it done, because I don't have many. I just have 5. And so now I've gotten a little better where I can put more than 5, you know, and I can actually get more than 5 done. So along with my schedule, I will write out the time, 8 to 9, 9 to 10. I'll have the different headlines, like a title will be to do, and then to call, and then to email. And then underneath each one of those things, I can put like maybe 5 items. To email these 5 people today, call these 5 people. And then I find myself like being able to cross off a good majority of each one of those in the day, because there's only 5 under each, but they're 3 different categories. So I can call while I'm calling, you know, driving Jackson, or grocery shopping. I can call that person, you know, just to find those spaces in your day. When you have your list next to you, I always, and then I bring it wherever I go. So I put it in my pocket, put it in my purse. So when I am in a moment of pause, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, what does my list say? Okay, I can call that person. Oh, I can email that person on my phone. I'm waiting for my tire to be changed, you know, so I can email 3 people while I wait on my phone. So it has been really helpful to always have my list with me and cross it off as I go throughout the day and see it get done, because I did do it the night before. I was prepared for the day. You know, I mean, that's, I had pretty much do this every day, but I used to not write a list. You know, it would be like what my goal was to get to writing healthy, like get to where I had more boundaries, because I was not good with my time. Before I would commit to something or a wedding, and I'd commit to this person, and I would commit to this internship, and then I'd find like 3 things. I had just overcommitted, and so I was at a place where I didn't have good time management, and I was overcommitted, and I was always so frustrated. So there was a point where I said, you know, I have to really say no until I get this time management thing down right. And then I can say yes as I manage myself better and I manage my time better. But I can't say yes until I myself am kind of, you know, putting my time and my person in a more healthy place. People don't want me to say yes to them if I'm saying yes because I think that I don't want to hurt them, or they don't want to disappoint, I don't want to disappoint them, or, you know, just the fear of man. But if I say yes and I come in with a 50 half, well, you know, the job is half done and I'm barely there, yeah, and mentally I'm fried, they don't want me to say yes, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Wow, Carrie, what an excellent answer. Thank you for the window into your process and into your time. I'm sitting here thinking, whoa, I have a long way to go. I'm impressed.
Well, I don't know how old. I feel like I'm ancient. So I feel like I'm a little older mother. But women who are my age have like 2 or 3 kids. So I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of opportunity for me to grow in all the years of me trying for a baby and being a business owner and just a lot of struggle. I feel like I feel like you're capturing me at a good point in my life, you know, where I've come from a lot of struggle and I've come from a lot of not healthy boundaries. And I was a business owner and I didn't know how to do it. So coming in now as a mother and already having been practicing these things, now a new mother, even more so practicing them, I feel like, you know, it's kind of in a healthy little hummingness part of my life. But, you know, 6 months from now, something could be thrown at me and I'll be back, you know, upturned again. So you just never know.
Well, something,
you know, but I think you're kind of peeking into my life at a very, a lot of, you've come through a lot myself personally. And so I don't want you to get a false impression of who I am fully, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just meant that you've got some really excellent, you've put a lot of thought and a lot of effort into maximizing your time. And I think that's fantastic. So just so listeners know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to break it down. So, because I think there's a lot of really great actionable advice in that little, you know, that last little bit on time management that you spoke about. So in our show notes, I'll break that down a little bit more so that other mothers can go back and give it a try themselves. And I loved as well that you talked about visualizing your day. You know, that to me, it's something I try and do a lot of. And coming from, I have a history as a athlete where in competition you visualize, you use that as a tool to help you perform better, and you do it in business too, you know, where you visualize where your goals are and where you want to go with it. But I've never really heard of or thought of doing it just in terms of how I want my day like to go, literally. Like, but you know, the one I think that's that. It's awesome. It's so good. One question that came to my mind though was, what do you do when that gets thrown off kilter? Because you know, it's with little children, and or with a business, I mean, things can just explode in your face in the matter of 5 minutes. So how do you handle that?
I think that's where my compartmentalizing, I know that sounds bad, but I think there's some people like don't compartmentalize things. I think that they use that in a socially not acceptable thing. But I don't mean it in a bad sense. I think mentally, in a good sense, it's very helpful. Like that's where my it kicks in for me. It says, okay, well, this is happening right now and it's negative. And this is throwing off my day. So I have two choices. I can accept what's happening because it's happening, or I can have a bad attitude to it and let it destroy my whole day. I can see what opportunities there are in this for me. And so by compartmentalizing the negativity that is coming at me and say, okay, this is an outside source coming in, or it's an inside source in me. Maybe I'm getting angry about something. I have two actions. I can let it, you know, overrule me, or I can say, no, how can I adjust myself? Maybe I need to move myself from this situation if I'm getting internally upset, or maybe I need to, you know, dress my child. You know, he needs my full attention right now, and I was doing something I wanted to do, but he needs me because his attitude is showing that he needs some help in this. He's you know, having a 10-foot tantrum. So then, you know, realizing I need to, and able to help this him, I need to get and stop what I'm doing. And so being able to kind of stop full tilt and compartmentalize what I was just doing and saying it's not a necessity, it's not priority, he's my priority. And so I think also that has been helpful for me to kind of been able to a little bit, you know, section off that moment of, okay, production was happening and now it's stopping. That's fine. Compartmentalize it for another time. It's still going to be there. I can tap into it later. Right now, my child needs me and that is what I need to do. And so then everything can stop. And I'm there. And then once he's over his tender tantrum, then maybe I can go back and unbox what I was just doing and still be productive and be 100% full potential still. I don't have to say that because I had got stopped in my production, that the production now is bad. It won't ever get to that full steam ahead. But no, I just shut the lid and said, I'm coming back. And it was still cooking, you know. And so I think it's also seeing what I'm doing visually and also just in my mind, like saying, okay, I'm not leaving this. I'm just putting this aside and I'm putting what's in priority first. And the highest priority right now is this situation. And even though maybe it's negative, maybe my tire was blown, maybe I burned dinner, maybe, you know, a lot of times for me, it's like, my email took way too long, or I just spent way too much time on research on Pinterest or Instagram. I just did it again, you know, feeling frustrated. Okay, stop. That frustration is downward cycle, and just let yourself say, okay, you did. Have a little space there. Learn from it. Yes, you did. You wasted an hour. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? You better work a little faster until you need to start cooking dinner, you know, and so get what you can done between now and then. So compartmentalizing has helped me just to be able to shut things. And then to, yeah, realize my, like the emergencies that come my way don't always have to be emergencies. It's the way I handle them. They say like you can view things as a tragedy or a trajectory, you know, for something better, or something you can step above it. So, or you can change the, you know, you're like hot water. You can be like a tea bag. You can change the water you're in by how you handle it. Instead of, that was a bad example, but yeah, you can change your circumstances by how you respond to that negative or whatever the emergency is. So I think I've learned to be more easygoing. I mean, I love details. I love accomplishments. My business is type A. But I'm also, I like to have humor. All of us girls, Veronica and Kelly and I, we laugh a lot. We don't take ourselves seriously. So part of our branding is kind of a joke on ourselves. And people who get to know our branding at a personal level see how down to earth we truly are. So yeah, we do not take ourselves that seriously, and we love to realize that, you know, we can change our circumstances by how we respond to those negative things, by simply our attitude and thankfulness. A lot of it is just really whatever comes your way, kind of being able to say, okay, well, I'm gonna want to learn from this. That's my attitude, is to want to change and learn and grow, and not let it pull me in or pull me under. So I don't know was that helpful for time management?
No, it was. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I love the way the lens that you view everything through. I mean, for me, you call it compartmentalizing. For me, I think it's just choosing not to dwell on something, because the more you do so, the more you create more of the same. So if you dwell on how stressed you feel, then you will feel more stressed, that you project that onto everything else in your life, and it just spirals, like you said. So good for you. I think that's super admirable, and I really admire you for having that outlook. So just one final question for you, Carrie. Before we wrap up, what would your best piece of advice be to others, other young mothers who are entrepreneurs and hoping to have kids or are in the middle of it now? Like, just in general, what would your best advice be?
Oh, man, that's hard. I think I would just encourage women to, I think we can never hear it enough, to really give yourself space and to give yourself, not be always so hard on ourselves. I think that I just said that in this whole thing, but I really think it's true. We just need to give ourselves some space from what the world is saying we feel like we need to be. There's women out there on billboards showing us what we're not in beauty, because they've been photoshopped. And there's women out there on TV showing us what we need to do to get more skinny or in shape. And there's women out there showing us how short we are because they're so tall. And there's women out there showing us, you know, how they're getting it all done and how come we can't. And there's just so many women out there, media-wise. I mean, now we're into like Twitter and social media and Instagram, and visually we're seeing so much at our fingertips, where women in pioneers days had none of that. And they were, you know, they just lived so simply. So realize where we are. We're trying to be the best version of ourselves, and we're comparing ourselves with the best the world could ever offer. These perfect people that are not really people. You know, they're just capturing a little moment of that person and making it 10 times better, and then putting it out there on a social media platform saying, you need to be that person. How come you're not? And so I think we need to, as women, to take a stand and say, okay, wait a second. I'm doing this to myself and letting other women do that to themselves. I need to be the person that changes and say, this is who I am. And this is what I have been made as. And I'm okay. I am right what I need to be. And I can grow. I'm not lying. I'm not going to lie and say I can't grow. I can grow. But I do not need to compare myself to this absolutely, impossibly perfect person. If I choose to, you know, we have so many women out there. We have CEOs, and then we have this, just the gamut of women that go about being a wife or being a mother or being a woman. And we need to realize, then we have, you know, my mother, who was this example of just extreme selflessness and gave up so much to be what she wanted to be. She gave that up because she wanted something more, which was being a mom. So just to realize, who are we comparing ourselves with? And then who are we personally, you know, like to also say, accept the fact that, you know, I am never going to probably ever be a CEO because I don't want to be, but my company is growing, and okay, there are two girls that are my associates that I have to give, you know, emails to and send off things to, and I am leading them in some form, but I'm not going to, I can't compare myself to Cheryl, you know, the Serene, I can't remember her last name, but obviously I don't compare myself that much to her, but the CEO of Facebook, you know, I just have to really,
Sandberg.
I read her book and it was so helpful. I read Good Girl, Girl Boss. that was very helpful, but I also have to realize I'm who I am and I am a mom and I want to be part of I really want to only work this amount of hours. And as doing that, I can't compare myself to these two women at all, you know.
No.
So I can take advice from them. Yes, I can learn from them. Yes, I want to learn from them. But I just cannot ever compare myself to them because they are them and they're doing what they feel called to. And I'm doing what I feel called to. And in that calling, I feel called to be part of, I mean, I want to be this many hours with my son. And this many hours with my son means I'm not this many hours with my business. So I need to learn to say, okay, so that means, and that's okay, that I don't want to do all of this. You know, so I think we have to realize what are we doing and comparing and where are we comparing to that person, their end, you know, their middle,
mm-hmm.
and realize it has to all just stop. Because it won't take us anywhere. And the dead end road pretty fast. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's good advice for anybody in anything. I mean, I always call it, you can't compare how you feel on the inside to how someone looks on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you have to call it back into perspective whenever you catch yourself doing that. So, Carrie, I just wanted to say thank you again for being here for this interview with us. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure listeners will learn a lot from you. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Celine. I just love you guys. I love your vision and your magazine. And I totally support you guys. Whatever I can do, I'm totally there for whatever I can do in the future with you. So thank you for making this happen. I'm just so thankful for your friendship.
So that concludes the episode. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate you very much. Just a reminder, head on over to puregreenmag.com/podcast/Carrie. We've put together detailed show notes with highlights from the episode. If you've enjoyed the show so far, make sure you subscribe and please share your review and feedback. It means so much. This podcast is created by Pure Green Magazine. Go to puregreenmag.com to pick up a copy of our latest issue or to subscribe. Thank you again. You're awesome, and I'll see you next week.